Tower, City of Morro Bay, Cayuga Sanitary District Wastewater Treatment Plant Meeting. Kimberly, would you please call the roll?
Board Member Raimundo?
Here.
Board Member Phones?
Here.
Board Member McHale?
Here.
Board Member Bell?
Here.
President Enns?
Here.
And Cayugas. Councilmember Demerit?
Here.
Councilmember Winholz?
Here.
Councilmember Baxley?
Here.
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
And Mayor Peters?
Here. And I believe we have some introductions over on your side.
Thank you, Mayor Peters. Yes, I'd like to introduce our new board member, Bud McHale. Bud, will you identify yourself there? Our former member, Bill Jabot, has moved to Arizona. He claims to be an equity refugee, so I think we all know what that means. I'd also like to announce that Nat Raimundo has...
Hi, my name is Marla Jo Bruton. I'm from North Morro Bay, and I'm here representing the Ocean Outfall Group. And I'd like to thank you for the progress that you seem to be making over our wastewater treatment plant upgrade. Also, one thing I would like to again mention that there was no JPA packet at the Mills stationery for copying or for perusing. And I'd like to speak for the community and ask that those materials are available. So once again, I don't really know what you have planned, but I'm glad you're working on it. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll make note of that.
Good evening. My name is Jeff O'Dell. I'm from Morro Bay. In the previous discussion from the pre-meeting, you were talking about the possibility of tertiary water discharge into a creek or other regulated body of water. And it reminded me of a presentation I saw back in 1986 by a gentleman named Gerhardt, who designed the polishing plant for the city of Arcata, which was actually a wetland. And that was permitted for direct ocean discharge. And I would urge perhaps an interested member, either board or council, to contact the city of Arcata and find out the details of that process and what, how much it costs, and if it's after 20 years of operation, what their experience is. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Seeing none, we'll bring it back. And consent calendar. Anyone on the council want to pull the item on the consent calendar?
I'd like to pull the minutes, please.
Okay.
Is that on?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Just a couple of corrections in the minutes, if I might. At the top, I'm not vice mayor. Mr. Baxley is. That changed, and so may want to correct that. And under the public comment period, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth line down, this is minor, but just instead of reported of, it's probably reported on. And I know that I came in late to this meeting, so I assume that there's no need to change that I was ultimately present, because you say that on the next page. So I think that that's okay. I did have one question.
It could be type of meeting, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
You want to just make that correction?
Sure.
Anything else?
No.
Any other council members have any corrections? Okay. Over to you before we approve.
Any corrections from the Cayucas board? Seeing none, Mayor Peters.
All right. Can I hear a motion to approve the minutes as corrected?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Cayucas, same motion. Motion by Nat Raimundo, second by Craig Bell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Mayor Peters.
Okay. All right, on to unfinished business, the status report of the NPDES permit renewal process. Bruce?
Good evening. There isn't a whole lot of progress to report on the permit renewal at this time. We are still sort of in a holding pattern while U.S. EPA and U.S. Fish and Wildlife complete a biological assessment for the impact of our discharge on otters. I do know that U.S. EPA has actually forwarded their biological assessment to U.S. Fish and Wildlife for their review. My understanding is they said they would try and have their review complete within 30 days, but everything I've learned from other people indicates that usually it takes significantly longer than that. I spoke to Matt Thompson at Regional Water Quality Control Board today, and he was saying that if U.S. Fish and Wildlife could complete their review within a 30-day time period, that the earliest we could probably be on the agenda for permit renewal would be sometime in December of this year. And he seemed to think that was a fairly optimistic goal. So we're still kind of just waiting to see what those two agencies are going to produce. We have a little, I've included some correspondence between the Natural Resource Defense Council, I think Regional Board, and maybe EPA in the packet, just to keep the council and the board kind of apprised of what correspondence is going back and forth at this time. And with that, I'll open it up to questions.
Okay. Any questions, Betty?
I have three questions.
Okay.
The first one is there a new acting director at the Water Quality Control Board? And does that have any effect on what's happening for us? Consultation. And the second one asks for normal procedures, which says we have to be done within 5 years. Has there been any response from the Water Board to either of those letters?
My understanding is that Regional Board Legal Counsel has looked at the second letter asking that the permit be, the process be conducted within the 5-year time frame, and I don't think they've responded at this point. I think they're satisfied with letting U.S. EPA and U.S. Fish and Wildlife continue on with their consultation. As far as the informal versus formal consultation, I think that process is a process that U.S. Fish and Wildlife and EPA have to coordinate between themselves, and they will announce their decision, and then we will have a chance to provide public comment.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Melody?
I missed the June 15th meeting, but you say in your staff report on this issue that there was a discussion at that meeting about U.S. EPA offering a mediator for a discussion between the city, the district, and NRDC. Is there any update on that? Was that ever pursued? I've had some people calling me, statewide representatives of some of these groups, calling me saying, why aren't we all sitting down at the table? And if they offered a mediator, has that happened?
My understanding is that U.S. EPA has offered a mediator. I spoke to one of the gentlemen who would provide that service at one time. Most of that has actually gone on between, I think, the legal counsel of the sanitary district and our legal counsel. But my understanding is that we want everybody at the table when we have these discussions, and critical staff has been absent due to summer vacations and holidays and whatnot, and we just haven't had a chance to put a date together. My understanding was that sometime in September might be a possibility.
Okay, Caicos.
Any comments from Cayucas? Seeing none.
Okay. And I believe this is just a recommend, receive, and file. And moving on to consideration and approval of an amendment to the contract for the facility master plan.
Yeah, this report is going to include a presentation by Corollo Engineers on the progress they've made on the facility master plan to date. I believe that Corello has prepared a PowerPoint demonstration covering the existing condition of the treatment plant. Would probably be to let Corello provide their presentation to you at this time. Let everybody ask their questions and then come back before this item is done and discuss the amendment to their contract. And there's also, they would like to see a motion considering retirement of certain structures at the treatment plant that are nearing 53 years of age. So, but all that will be covered in the presentation. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Tracy Clinton from Corello Engineers, who's going to do the presentation this evening.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mayor, Council Members, Honorable President, Board Members. Thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to present an update of our information that we've found to date. What we're going to do is first go over the master plan background and process, then discuss the overall meeting schedule, talk about your roles as attendees, any technical topics, we've got three for tonight, and go into questions and answers and next steps. I'd like to go through the information fairly quickly so that we can get to the Q&A portion. I've listed the action items up front and at the end of the presentation so that you can consider these. Number one, adopt the meeting schedule that we're going to present to you. We have information to present most months, and we need you to look at those dates and let Bruce know if they're okay or we need to adjust some of those. Secondly, authorize Corolla to conduct a corrosion study, which is the one that Bruce just mentioned. Agreement that the 1953 facilities can be retired and hence eliminated from alternative analysis. And the fourth one is agree that the city and district will make all efforts to agree to the flows and loads by the September meeting. This really allows our analysis to continue to help you meet your schedule that you've agreed on with the regional board. So our project scope for the master plan is to develop a wastewater facility master plan that provides a comprehensive planning document to treat wastewater flows for a 20-year planning period. Also, to recommend a preferred wastewater treatment plant upgrade alternative. So why is a treatment plant facility master plan needed? Well, as you all know, from July 2002 to March 2006, there's been a series of correspondence and meetings with the regional board. It's for the City Council and District Board to adopt a final wastewater treatment facility master plan by June 2007. And to adopt the recommended wastewater treatment plant upgrade alternative. So our technical activities at this time are to review the existing facilities and determine conditions. We're going to talk about those tonight. Define the existing flows and loads and make projections. Again, we'll discuss that tonight. The other issues will all be coming in future meetings. Determine the biosolids issues and options. Develop tertiary treatment alternatives. Develop secondary treatment alternatives. And select a preferred treatment. While this is going on, there are other concurrent activities, which are to conduct staff project meetings, to conduct public meetings, such as tonight, and develop draft and final master plan. So our process to do this, to complete that schedule, is develop the information, present the information as it's developed in topic format, public workshops for three purposes, to gain input, to inform, and to make decisions. Make decisions is really vital in this process because we need those decisions for us to keep moving on the process to meet the schedule that you all have agreed to with the regional board. So then we discuss those topics being presented, obtain agreement as needed. Some topics are information only, some actually need agreement. And to summarize the issues to be further clarified and resolve those issues, incorporate it in the draft and the final master plan. So our schedule that we mentioned early on, the meeting schedule, I think you've all seen this. We're talking about the top two tonight, discharge requirements and rehabilitation. That was supposed to be discussed back in July, but it got postponed to tonight. So we actually have three topics for tonight. And we're also going to talk about flows and loads. The other information, the biosolids and flows, you'll see number three is biosolids and flows and loads. Typically, flows and loads is a larger topic that gets carried over and discussed at a couple of meetings. Then talk about the full tertiary treatment, then full secondary, alternative selection, and again, you see alternative selection repeated, and adoption of the final draft. What we hope to get is agreement on these meeting dates. We have a very tight schedule that's been agreed on, as you all do, with the regional board. For us to meet that schedule, we backed up the dates and when we could present information to you all. So if everybody could look at those dates and get Bruce, in the end, an agreement on those or any revisions, he will let us know. That would be great.
Is that the
discharge requirements? Besides the ocean discharge, the plant must comply with many other regulations. Our number one priority when we do any planning is regulations. So there's an NPDES permit renewal, obviously ongoing. Coastal Commission must also be considered. Biosolids and pretreatment regulations apply, as well as recycling and air quality regulations. So let me show you a more complete table. Again, it's small and hard to read. The summary table, you can see in the left-hand column, we have the NPDES permit, which is the discharge permit. That governs the effluent discharge requirements to the water bodies. Certainly future permit requirements are affected by that. The ocean plan governs the effluent discharge requirements to the ocean, established effluent limits for the discharge permit. Coastal Commission oversees the land and the water use along the coast. Issues with coastal development permits, anything with that. Recycled water regulations, they set bacteriological standards based on the amount of public contact with recycled water. There's different levels of recycled water, which requires tertiary treatment for recycled water use in your area. US EPA sewage sludge regulations, they must be met to continue composting. And the county air pollution regulations issues emissions permits. So all of these have to be considered. That's what we have to follow when we do any sort of design for any planning project. Rehabilitation. I'm going to go over these, as I said, fairly quickly. You've all received information, draft reports, and information in detail on all these. So I've just picked a couple of things to highlight. For rehabilitation, our analysis goals are to identify the repairs needed to bring the plant into like-new condition. Also, it provides a valuable benchmark when considering replacement processes. What we tend to look at is, are we getting the best bang for the buck? Is it better to replace or to rehabilitate? So the high cost of rehabilitation surprised Carollo. Rehabilitation construction cost, we're looking at about $11.6 million. Total project cost, $15.7 million. The jump there, you go from the construction cost is what the contractor bids on, what he actually gives you. Like if you're doing work on your home, that would be the price he gives you. The project cost includes contingencies, engineering, legal, administration, construction management, all what it costs to actually do the project. That's the amount that the two agencies would see. Our early estimate was $5 million based on just engineering judgment, looking at what the plant possibly needed, real briefly. These structures will be 57 years old at the time the next project is constructed, which you can imagine 1954 building codes were vastly different than they are today. The 1954 facilities, these are just some photos when we went out and we did our reconnaissance at the site that we took. The chlorine contact basin in the upper left, this shows the rebar actually being exposed to the concrete, therefore compromising its structural capabilities. The chlorine contact basin is actually a basin that was converted, and there is no backup to this basin. It's a serpentine basin, which means the flow runs from one to the other. If this is to go down, you cannot discharge. That meets your requirements. So there is no reliability behind that basin. Digester number one, there's spalling again of the concrete at the top of the basin. And again, these are built in 54. And the trickling filter, again, is an older facility with some structural question. The 1964 facilities, this is where we added on the three tanks, the digester, primary clarifier, and trickling filter. So these structures will actually be 47 years old at the time of the next project. The codes were improved, obviously, from the 50s, but probably not very much compared to today's standards. So some of the 1964 facilities. Well, here we have an electrical manhole full of water, never a good sign. And the digester number two, you see some hand railing at the top here. Again, just cracking in the concrete, which we'd need to go in and look at rehabilitating these. Is it practical to line the basin, to fix the concrete, or does it all need to be redone? Don't know at this time. 1985 facilities, quite a few were added on here. The maintenance building, administration building, digester number three, a headworks, secondary clarifier, and the sludge drying beds. These structures will be 26 years old at the time the next project is constructed. So these facilities were fairly modern, but the electrical in these facilities are generally pretty old and need some updating, and that's a lot of the cost that we found in the later facilities. So in the 1985 facilities, these are some of the, again, the pictures to show them. The grit removal basins, they look to be in pretty good shape. The MCC's corrosion, this is actually one of the oldest motor control centers that's been running, and we just heard today that they're sort of like stealing parts from one to make. Again, this is what the contractor would bid on, and this is what it would cost the district and the council to come together to do the entire project. We broke these down looking at, if you look at it by the facilities when they were actually constructed by year, the rehabilitation cost based on the 1954 facilities, $2.7 million. Again, this is project cost, so this relates to the $15 million total. The 1964 facilities is about $2.3 million. And you see some of these repeated, primary treatment here and secondary treatment, and you also see it in the second one. Remember, they added on some clarifiers and some primary treatment basins in the other years. The 1985 facilities, this is where most of your costs come into play, over $10 million here. Again, a lot of this is the electrical and instrumentation upgrading. It includes, I put the note on the bottom, it includes $3.6 million to replace the motor control centers. This may change after the electrical reliability study next week and the corrosion study if authorized. Again, we can get better numbers the more information, the more we can know and dig into things. Flows and loads. So our approach to flows and loads, generally what we do to figure out flow projections, we take historical data for any community. We look at what's been done in the past in the history. In this case of Morro Bay and Cayucas, different information was available for us to use. Since Morro Bay is a city, you guys had better population data. So we were able to use a traditional per capita approach, which means we can look at the population now, the population at build out, see how it's grown in the past, and see how it's going to go in the future until you reach your build-out period. For Cayucas, there wasn't as much of the traditional data available, so we base this information, let me get my cheat sheet here, we base this information on the number of service connections. So what that means, connection to each home, and the number of lots that are available for residential development is also a known factor. So we can know how many lots are available, what growth rate has been used so far, and we also used your water management plan, which was adopted in 2004. And in Morro Bay, we used the sewer master plan, which was adopted in May 2006. So we feel pretty good about the numbers. The flow conditions that we included in our analysis are the average annual daily flow. So you can imagine the average daily flow every day throughout the year. The peak seasonal dry weather flow. This is going to be your maximum month in either July or August, because this is a worst case gives us for the loadings percentage was about 1%. So the year that you would reach build out, based on the numbers that we have, for Morro Bay it's 2021, for Cayucas it's 2015. So build out flow, again, peak season in those summer months, 1.05 for Morro Bay and 0.4 for Cayucas. This gives us a total of 1.45. So the percent of the total flow at build out, this is how the split would occur. 72% would be flow coming from Morro Bay, whereas the other 28% would be flow coming from Cayucas. The existing wastewater treatment plant's design capacity is 2.36. So you'll see a bit of a discrepancy in the build out flow that's estimated versus the design capacity. A lot of this is, as Bruce mentioned, is due to growth limitations or capacity limitations. So the planned peak hour that we used was 5.92. So that's the maximum flow that the plant would see. I know this is kind of quick, but we'll get to the Q&A here we are. I have a couple more slides. We can close out, or if you'd like to focus on those three areas now, we can do that, whatever your preference is.
Council, what would you like to do? Do you have questions on these, the information? Okay, let's start with that. Who wants to start? Betty?
I'll start. How different or how similar might this facility be to the plant that's currently being built by CMC?
I'm going to let Mr. Stringfield answer the questions. They did the technical analysis on this information. Thank you.
We haven't gotten that far. The facility that's at CMC is under construction, is one of the alternatives we're looking at for secondary and tertiary treatment. So it could look like that. But it probably only look like that if we didn't
rehabilitate a lot of the existing facilities you have. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Surely. And then I have a question about the population estimates. I challenged those when they came up before, when you said that you took what we did from our master plan a few months ago. Those figures, I feel, are inflated for Morro Bay. If you look at the last decade, we've really grown at more like 35 people per year, not 125.
And so go back to the slides that shows the build-out, the year of the build-out. Would that affect, maybe it's an unfair question, but would that affect the year of the build-out as far as, would it still be within the, you know, if we stretched it out, would it still be in the 20-year planning period?
You'll have to define the 20-year period. Are you talking 2012 to 2032?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so in 2032, if we used a slower growth rate, would we still be almost to, or at build out? I'm guessing maybe we would, but so...
Because our population's actually been going down the last couple of years.
Well, okay. Well, in that case, it wouldn't, would it? We reviewed the data that is available and that the city has been publishing. If there's other rates that we need to use, then I guess that's what we're here today for, to get some direction on that. Yeah.
Do you want others to ask questions?
Sure. Yeah. Finish your questions. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Betty had more. Melody, go ahead.
No, I was trying to share.
Okay. Melody, would you like a chance?
It's very nice of you, Ms. Winholz. I think you're aware that I've had a little bit of problem with the way you're comparing this population information. And it seems to me that Morro Bay, you're basing on these future population projections, which I also question whether or not they're realistic, to say that we're going to have an annual growth rate of 125 people per year, which you have in section 331.
Right.
And we don't grow that fast per year. And then to go to the Cayucas population, and you base that on historical real sewer connections.
Yes.
And I know that our town knows how many sewer connections we have. So are you wanting to say something, Mr. Ambo?
No. I can respond to sewer population.
I think you probably could, yes. But I was just wondering, you wanted to explain to us why it's fair. It seemed like apples and oranges to me.
They are two different ways of coming up with a final flow, where we like to use population numbers year by year, compare it to the flow over the last 5 years, 20 years, and then look at the growth rate that a city does. Using the lots is actually a little more. I mean, it's the best information we have available for Cayucas.
If I could just follow up on this a little bit. During the break, I was talking to you and asked you about where the flow meters are, and is there a flow meter that could actually tell me really what is Cayucas doing versus what Morro Bay is doing, and you said there was.
Yes.
So why did you go to all this extra trouble when there's actually a flow meter that would give us those numbers?
Well, we use the flow meter, and we look at how many connections there are now, so we can come up with a flow per connection. So we use the Cayucas flow meters and the numbers they had for the last 5 years, and said, okay, a normal connection has this much flow. So that's how we calibrated the flow per new connection.
And then another one in the Cayucas population information, you say growth projections for Cayucas are even more conservative than for Morro Bay at 0.59 and 0.60% annually. So actually that's fairly equal, don't you think? I don't know why you would call Cayucas out as more conservative in growth than us if it's 0.59 and 0.60%, or is that an error in the number? That's in the report that I'm looking at.
That was based on a range that was given for slow cog. That was just
we need to have you on the microphone.
I'm sorry, you have to come up. This is Eric Castillas, who gathered the information from SLOCOG.
Yeah. Those numbers, I believe that the SLOCOG, the growth rate that was used for them was 0.8% for Morro Bay. And then there was a range that was used to get a low population projection and a high population projection for Cayucas, and that was 0.59 and 0.6. So not a lot of difference there. That 0.5 and 0.59 and 0.6 both relate to Cayucas, and the 0.8 is for Morro Bay.
Okay, it's an error in my reading. Conservative then for Morro Bay at 0.59 and 0.60, so I thought you were comparing the two of them. Yeah. So that's just for Cayucas. Then the other thing, I'd like you to assure us about a comment you made in here about vacation rentals.
Oh, yes.
That percentage for Cayucas, but yeah. Not for Morro Bay.
Yeah. Oh, because of the nature of these communities, you know, the vacancy rates are often quoted, and they're in your sewer master plan, and so we kind of felt obligated to recognize that we're just not ignoring them, so we put them in there. We should have been clearer in our wording. They do not come into the calculation. It was just a reference.
Looking at Chapter 3, and this will be my last question because I'd like to share as well, but on the annual average daily flow, I'm just wondering, I can see Morro Bay, and then is there somewhere in here that I'm just not finding offhand that compares the flow of Morro Bay versus Cayucas? I've seen that chart before in other meetings. Is it in Chapter 3? Because I don't actually see it. It goes service connections, Morro Bay's flows, and Cayucas service connections. So I'm not able to quite... Well, there's some flow, I think, on 3-4, but is there...
Let me see. I'm looking at Table 3.1 on page 3-2, and this is the flow contribution for Morro Bay and Cayucas.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's a million gallons a day, historic. All, you know, come. That's a historic comparison. Is that what you were looking for?
That's what I was looking for.
Okay,
because
thank you.
I'm sorry. This is my last question.
Yeah.
When I asked you about those two flow meters, you said that they, if we looked at those numbers, they would come up pretty close to what you have up here on the overhead.
Did I tell you the truth?
Not too bad.
77.
Not too bad.
Yeah, okay.
It's fairly close.
It's in the range.
So
yes.
What I'm looking at in Table 3.1, that's off flow meters.
Yes.
Yeah, that's historical data. That those numbers represent total plant flow off a flow meter at the plant, okay. And Cayucas' flow metered at their lift station at lift station 5, which is the last pumping station to Morro Bay.
Okay. Betty, did you have anything else?
Not really. Just a comment. Since we're on this chart, that I'm glad to see that though this is currently at 77-23, that what you're proposing is a 72-28 split, which actually shows that Cayucas is picking up more of the flow. Is that true?
That's what that would say. Percentage wise, Cayucas would be adding a little bit more flow than Morro Bay would be than they are currently. Yes.
Dad, any questions?
I'd like to ask a couple of questions about what we're actually going to be referring to tonight in our recommendation. The number one is on the corrosion.
Include replacement of the motor control centers for the numbers we're showing you today.
And could you comment on those areas again that you want to completely demolish and replace?
The if you turn to that map. It's the 19 the facilities that were constructed in the 50s. I guess the fair thing to say is I would like you to allow me the discretion as I'm looking at them to say these need to be retired because of their age and structural condition, and I bring that to you today because. You might think, well, that's what you're paying me to do, and you just expect me to do that at the end in my report. But I wanted to bring that to you today because sometimes it surprises you at the end when I say, here, these are four facilities that I think we need to retire. So I'm bringing it up now so there's no surprises later.
One final question, the money that you're asking for the corrosion report,
Yeah.
Where is that located?
Where?
Has it been? Is it in your budget yet?
No. We're asking for an addition to our budget on the corrosion. We did refer to an electrical study that is in our budget, and that'll happen Tuesday. Our electrical engineer will be coming out and going through the plant, and between the electrical engineer and the corrosion study, we'll get a real good answer on those MCCs.
So it's only the money for the corrosion study that would be added to the budget.
That's correct. The electrical was, we planned to send our electrical engineer out there. Yes, we had.
I'm not really sure why you need to do a corrosion study that includes the MCC, since you have a picture and a comment that the thing is corroded. You just showed us that, and then underneath it says you need the corrosion study. You wouldn't need it for the MCCs, right?
Well, we would like to look at those MCCs and see if all they need is some sandblasting and repainting, or if the metal is to where they need to be replaced. So that's what our corrosion engineer would tell us.
And you weren't able to see that in this initial look through the plant?
Not my area of expertise. It looked to me and to the engineer who wrote the report.
From instrument airlines to process pipelines, some of them are plastic, some of them are metal that go into plastic, and some of them have showed a lot of corrosion. And I think one of the things that Mr. Clow from Corollo commented on in the study was that where they go underground, we may have issues. We do have cathodic protection throughout the plant, and we have somebody come out and check that on a regular basis. And I believe that Corollo has been in contact with our consultant, and we're going to work out a way that he can help us through that process on this corrosion study, because I think he's very knowledgeable about some of the stuff we're studying. I do know that we have steel pipelines underground for natural gas lines, and some of those issues, one of my big concerns is that you do everything from the ground up, but what happens to the stuff that's underground? And I think it's real important that before we get into this process, we have a more understanding of what's buried as well as what we can see. And definitely when you come to the plant, you can see that, you know, we sit 100 yards from a marine environment where the wind blows very hard, and there's definitely, you know, we paint and paint and paint, but it doesn't always keep up, so.
Okay, Bill, you have any questions? Okay, Cayucas.
Okay, questions from Cayucas? Go ahead, Nat.
A couple of questions. Well, what you just said was that in the budgeted prices, you plan on replacing the controllers completely. But now, in your study, you may find out you might not have to do that.
That's correct.
So that we might get some benefit there, some price reduction there?
Yeah.
Potentially?
Yes. I would hope that the motor control centers could be rehabilitated and not replaced. That would be the best scenario.
Now, when you came up with your figures, you must have made some kind of assumptions along the way of what you're going to replace and not replace. And I know that gets to be a guessing game. But how did you come up with the $11 million number? You must have made some assumptions along the way there of what you have to replace and not replace.
Yes, we went through a very detailed, you know, door by door, building by building scenario, and Mr. Clow, who did it, he has about 30 years experience. Need to replace this, so he put $500,000 per motor control center to be conservative. So, and so that's a case where we said you have to replace it rather than rehabilitate it. But that was his judgment. Yeah.
Now, how do we, if some of the elements are going to be retired, if we do retire them, how do we continue to operate? Do you build a redundant system or a replacement system as a workaround to what you're going to retire, or you don't retire them until the end? How does that work?
We definitely do not retire them until the end. unless there's just some physical constraint, like the, you know, like maybe the chlorine contact basin I mentioned earlier. If we just have to get into that, we can bring in some temporary tanks, but I wouldn't want to do that. But yeah, Bruce has to treat and meet discharge requirements all the way through, so we would not retire a structure until its replacement is operational.
And if I remember correctly, in your original study, I think you said something to the effect that you could upgrade the plant and allow the present plant to continue to operate. There was enough real estate to do this.
Yes. Right now, I haven't seen anything in my preliminary dropping this, dropping that on the existing site that tells me I couldn't keep it in the existing site if I needed to. And I'm assuming I need to.
And if I understand correctly, we could be here till tomorrow arguing your 10% vacancy rate on vacation homes. And I don't want to do that. But I think what you said you did is that, okay, if you have so many hookups, each house has so much flow, and that's what they generate. And you just multiply it out, and
yeah,
that's what it comes, and let the numbers be what they are.
Yeah, so if you had a... Let's say instead of looking at July and August to set our criteria, which the vacancy rate is probably pretty low, but maybe not. But we took the actual flow and divided it by the number of lots per se. So if there's a 60, 50, or 30% vacancy rate, the unit flow per lot has that built into it, you know, whatever, you know, but when we come
that picture up there, could you point out the facilities that you recommended for demolition or would you say retirement?
The yellow ones, chlorine contact basin,
right?
The original digester number one, the original trickling filter, and the original primary clarifier. Those are the ones that I would appreciate agreement that at my discretion that I could retire those and that you won't be upset if I do that when I come back.
Okay, but you also had, I guess I'm reading it's a rehabilitation schedule, and you included, I believe, most of the other things there that are colored.
Oh, they'd be, yeah. I'm sorry,
the secondary clarifier.
Yeah they'd be,
primary clarifier.
Yeah. So at this time, I'm assuming that those would be rehabilitated. So the yellow ones, I'm thinking I want to retire. The others, I'm thinking I want to rehabilitate and continue using them. Now, the only caveat to that is that if one of those green or red facilities I just don't need in the secondary treatment, they'd be retired also. But if I want to continue using this secondary clarifier, I will, but if I don't need that primary clarifier, I would then retire it. Some treatment processes, you don't need a primary clarifier, so that would be retired. Even though it could be rehabilitated, I would retire it.
Okay, what I'm looking at is most of the plant is either being rehabilitated or retired.
Yes.
So that begs the question of whether or not we should just go somewhere else. Apparently we have other real estate there, and build a new plant and retire everything that's there solves the corrosion problem that Bruce spoke about. And I'd just like you to, just a concept at this point, but I'd like you to respond to that.
I don't think we're there. Based on my experience, You've got enough assets there that if we rehabilitate, I would still want to keep it in service. It's a very expensive facility.
Okay, let me just maybe you can help me with this, and I could certainly be misinformed, but City of Pismo just built a plant.
Yes.
Fairly new technology. We had a little brochure here.
Yes.
I didn't recognize some of these facilities that I see on here. They don't look like the. I don't see trickling filters. I don't see the chlorine contact tank. Maybe it's all there, or maybe there's new technology. Mm-hmm. So where are we in that?
Pismo Beach had some 1950s and 60s facilities, and a similar decision was made there to that the older facilities were better retired. So we put in the oxidation ditch, which is the big open structure on the cover of that. That's what's in. That's also almost the same facilities that's at CMC. There's a situation where, you know, like we just discussed, on the site we were able to build the oxidation ditch, put it in service. I think it was January or February 1st. They started up that oxidation, and then we knocked down a lot of the older facilities. No trickling filters, that's correct.
And what was the, can you just give me a general overall cost of what Pismo did?
$11 million.
And the size of their community, the population they serve?
The flow that is designed for one, and I tell everyone two, but I'm going to tell you it's 1.9. It's on the back of that sheet.
Back, yeah.
What does it say on the back? 1.96, 1.86 on the very back.
I'm reading 1.6 is average annual wastewater flow.
And then there's another 1. Number. 6. Okay, there's the
1.
peak.
1.9 is the average day maximum.
That's the that's the capacity. That is the July-August flow that they have to meet.
Could we be quiet down here? It's
yes.
Hard to hear.
Okay. Well, now so that 1.9 is why I'm confused in my
we wouldn't need to build a big oxidation ditch like that. So, I mean, that is what we'll come back to you with in the alternative analysis.
Can I make a comment on mm-hmm. that? I believe that when we had this discussion, because I've kind of looked at the price and kind of had some sticker shock going when mm-hmm. I saw it as well, David's comment to me was, if you were to rehabilitate the existing facility and not upgrade it, and you just wanted to make it like new again, this is the cost you'd be looking at, because you have some of these really old structures and some corrosion problems. But in my mind, I keep thinking that what he's saying is that if you retire some of those structures, it may be cheaper to build new structures, that when we get into the alternatives analysis, you may not see a $15 million price tag, right? I mean, the total project cost might be $15 million, including rehabilitation and construction of new facilities. Is that a fair...
Yeah, if I had to make my educated guess today, it'd be a little higher than that. No matter what alternative we looked at, but yes, that's very, very possibly true. And we've also talked about this cost assumes that all of the equipment that is at or will shortly be at its useful life, we go ahead and replace. We may not need to do that. We, you know, Bruce maybe can replace it, you know, replace the pump on a maintenance schedule rather than on our bringing everything, you know, replacing everything right now. So, yeah, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah, Pismo Beach, $10 million, just build it. And
well, was that entirely new?
All the wastewater was new. Or rehabilitated. We put that new headworks in, and then but they didn't need any pumps because they come that it, the sewage gets there under pressure just because it comes from pump stations. So there's no pumps in the headworks, but there's a new bar screen that you saw here, and a new meter, this new big oxidation ditch, two new big clarifiers, and then we rehabilitated one of their structures and made it an efficient active chlorine contact basin. It was one of their 1960 structures. So we did turn it into a good chlorine contact basin. So we rehabilitated that facility at this time.
Okay, I believe that this discussion actually is jumping ahead a little bit from where we are, so I apologize for that.
That's okay.
But I wanted to just plant the seed that there might be some alternatives here just to build a new plant entirely separate from the location of this one. Next door, not down the street. But.
If the property's like contiguous property, if there's contiguous property where we can put a new facility in, but maintain a lot of this infrastructure, that's fine. But right now I'm thinking maybe it could fit on this site, but we could certainly use some more elbow room on that site. Certainly,
keep in mind our property includes where the concrete plant is there and the trailer park that you see to the front.
Right.
So we have quite a bit of other property that we could look at. But
right.
Again, I know that's jumping ahead a little bit. But And
I'm ready to use it if that's what is necessary.
Okay, so then to go back to where we are now, you were talking about the flows and did we, for build out, how many lots did we anticipate having left in Cayucas?
246. Is that right, Bill?
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. From Cayucas.
Okay, what we're finding in Cayucas is the lots that are left are very difficult
to build on.
Okay. There are the steep ones that are left or sticking in a canyon somewhere where they're difficult to get to. I'm a little bit like some of the comments down here. I don't see the build-out happening at the rate that you've suggested. And I don't argue with your methodology. I don't argue with what you found out. I'm just going seat of the pants from having lived here a long time and saying, I don't think that's going to happen. So I'd like to just maybe sometime other than right now look at your methodology and what numbers you use to start with.
Certainly.
You're talking at that rate 27 houses per year, new construction in Cayucas, and if we get 15, I'd be surprised.
Is that what it was? 27,
Well, just some numbers I'd like to look at.
Sure. I'd be happy to come over between now and the next meeting and meet with
I wonder
whoever.
If maybe our subcommittee could.
Yeah.
Investigate.
Well, we'd back it off, and then you would have that. That's where your limit would be. And kind of put it in a nutshell, what we're asking you to do is say, how much flow do you want? And that's that's the number that you tell us, and that's what we'll build. So.
Okay, yeah, I understand that. You have to design to the build because we're close to it.
You're so close to it. But
all right,
if they're okay.
Can you tell me what the, and I didn't really understand this number, the 0.59 or 0.6, what is that number? 0.59, that was on the growth?
Yeah.
What is that
number? I mean, like 1% a year, it's less than 1% of growth per year. It's 0.59% of your current population compounded every year, growth for the next.
Okay, then what is the EDU? Estimated?
Equivalent dwelling unit.
Dwelling unit, so 60 a year is what you're saying for Morro Bay?
60 equivalent dwelling units would be 60 lots, yes. 60 residential lots is what that says.
Okay, that's all of my questions, and I do recommend that we have that technical advisory committee so we can get into some of the minutiae of the details here prior to our next meeting. So I'd hope that we could be prepared to give you the answer you need on September 21st.
I got my calendar. If that's what you want to do now, or you can communicate that date to me.
Well, maybe we can decide on one here.
Sure, you want to do that now or later in the meeting week? I'm sure there's going to be other issues that'll be ripe for discussion at that meeting too. So
okay. Well, we have a schedule meeting schedule here.
It's, I think it's September 20.
September
21st. Yeah.
Needs to be in the morning.
I'm assuming it's. I think they were all Thursdays. Yeah.
Needs to be in the morning.
Okay. Good.
Okay, so September 14th. You're setting
just
up
one comment on that date. If you want staff to bring back a staff report with any recommendations that may come out of that meeting, that doesn't. That only gives us a week to turn that around, and generally we try and put packets out a week prior to the meeting. But we can certainly turn a staff report around real quick, and if you give us a little leeway, have
it. Hey, we're okay on September 12th in the morning. Melody, does that work for you? Morning? Is that
name
okay?
Time.
Is that all right at the city where we met last time? 9 a.m.?
9 a.m.
Very good. And David, could we all meet with our staff, and then I'm assuming we could communicate prior to the meeting so
absolutely.
I can express what my thoughts
sure.
are, and then we'll
absolutely.
Be a little more prepared.
Okay, now do we move on to another part of your report?
Tracy had a kind of a summary to see if we know what we heard.
Okay.
So our next steps... Our goal, again, this is a repeat from earlier, is for the City Council and District Board to adopt a final wastewater treatment facility master plan by June 2007. I want to keep this in everybody's mind. We're still aiming for that June date. So sorry to hurry you along, but this is the information for you all to meet your schedule with the regional boards. And also to adopt the recommended wastewater treatment plant upgrade alternative. So our next steps are to summarize the areas of agreement. It sounds like... We have the date of September 12th to have a technical meeting on the flow and loads with each of the two agencies to speak ahead of time with them to get the information. And then also September 21 is our next meeting where we would need a decision. That's an action that we will need to move forward to get the design flows so we can design the plant. So summarize the issues to be further clarified. Did that. We've got the flow and loads. The next public workshop is September 21, and the topics on that are supposed to be biosolids, and again, wrap up the flow and loads, get agreement. The meeting type, it's an action item for the city and district vote. A vote is needed to continue the progress. So tonight's action items are to adopt the meeting schedule as presented in what Bruce handed out, and then what's again presented in this presentation. To authorize Corolo to conduct a corrosion study so we can dig into more what's underground, what's above ground, how corroded everything is. Agreement that the 53 facilities can be retired and hence eliminated from alternative analysis. And also agreement that the city and district will make all efforts to agree to the flows and loads by the September meeting. This then, again, allows us our time to continue to meet the meeting schedule. Thank you.
Okay.
And I'll just make one comment. I think in terms of adopting a meeting schedule, that isn't agendized on this group together due to the number of people involved. So, as you know, we've had dueling dates on numerous occasions, so the more lead time, the better.
Okay, so does anyone on the council have conflicts with any of those dates that you know of? I'll look at September 21st here.
I'm just going to put in here that after the September meeting, I'll be probably teaching on Thursdays until 6, but probably leaving. But I probably won't make pre-meetings. I can make the regular JPA meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Cayucas?
Cayucas, we're referring to this schedule that's in this. And we've added that one day, September 12th, but that's just for Bud and myself. 9 a.m.
Okay.
I think we're okay.
All right. So then the next thing on that action list is agreement about the 1953 facilities being retired. I'm sorry. Corrosion study is next.
I have a comment about the corrosion study. I would want to, and I don't know if this is possible, can we just assume that everything is corroded underneath and not do the study?
That would not be prudent. That would say just start at a new site. There's a lot of stuff under there. I don't think it's that bad. We don't want to be surprised.
It seems cheaper to me to not do the $45,000 and assume the corrosion, and then if it comes out not corroded, then that's okay.
This one is $20,000.
But either way,
it's still a lot
either
of money.
Way.
Yeah.
Either way, it's coming out of the citizens' pocket.
Right. No, I think for the millions of dollars under the ground, it's a good investment to have the study done.
And what you'll learn is just where all the corrosion is?
Right. I think what we might learn is that all of the galvanized steel pipe is very much at risk. We need to replace that, which may be 10% of the pipe under the ground. And that's what we might find, something like that.
And why can't we just assume that and not put out the
$20,000? It's going to tell us exactly what we want to know, and there's some likelihood that if you try to replace everything, once you do the corrosion report, you're going to save that $21,000 and maybe some more. So we need to do the study.
Cayucas.
Any comments from Cayucas? Well, my first thoughts were right along the line with Betty, and my second thoughts were the thoughts that Thad just expressed, so I'm okay with the report.
All right. Can I hear a motion from this side?
Can I respond to Mr. N's comments for a minute?
Certainly.
Have a little dialogue for a minute?
Of course.
It's likely that a lot of this plant's not going to last. I mean, a lot of the facility, as he says and he's asking, to retire things that are already 50 years old, that will end up being 60 years old by the time we start building. And so, you know, we're asking them to last 70 and 80 years old. Old materials, old technology. It seems to me that we can almost assume that a lot of this stuff just needs to go away, look like Pismo, and come back with something new, not throw our money away on studies, and just start over.
Madam Mayor, can I ask a
yes.
question of the folks from Parolo? From what I heard, all these pipes are running underneath the road. Is that correct? Or much of it?
Much of it follows the road, but it also crosses the open areas.
Right, but the stuff that's under the road is under concrete?
Asphalt. Yeah.
So basically, if you assume that it's all corroded, you're going to get out there with a jackhammer and start taking asphalt out, and you're going to destroy whatever pipes, if you just figure it's all corroded, going to destroy everything under the road anyway, aren't you, if you start jackhammering it to pull the pipes out? Or am I reading this wrong?
We find that the galvanized steel pipe is no longer good, we probably wouldn't rip it out. We'd find a new route and lay a new one.
So
and try to avoid as much
you
conflict.
You wouldn't tear the stuff out, you would just replace it.
That would be the goal. Sometimes you have to tear it out, but the goal would be to reroute it, a new pipe, yes.
Thank you.
Hal, go ahead.
There have been some studies by the Cast Iron Pipe Institute where they show that in Rome there are some cast iron pipes that are 1,000 years old,
yes,
and still working,
yes,
and on the same pipe.
What we would do is Bruce, at his expense, would get a backhoe, and we would identify with Bruce, you know, 5, 6, 7, or 8 places where we would want him to pothole off the pavement. Hopefully, if not, we'll saw cut a little hole in pavement, and we'll expose the pipe, and then we'll inspect the pipe. We may take a coupon, a piece of that pipe. We may drill a hole in the pipe, or you can also test, you know, how thick that pipe is, and then we can send the material back to the lab and find out, how it is holding up. So we would do physical inspection of the pipe, and pull samples and send those to the lab.
Questions over here, Thad?
I have a question, yes, procedural question, Madam Mayor. Are we going to take each one of these for a motion, or are we going to wait look at all four items and then make a motion to cover all four. I'd prefer to do the latter.
Do they all need motions, Bruce, or just some nods of the heads? I'm not sure, you know.
My understanding was that I think the only real direction we needed was on the Corello study, and perhaps a motion saying that you acknowledge that you understand the need to retire some of those other facilities.
Two and three, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think one and four don't need to be included in any motion.
Okay.
Okay, Melody, question?
I'm wondering if, I'm getting really enchanted by this idea of a new plant. You just told me $11 million for Pismo, or $12 million actually, it says in your statement here, your summary. And then you also say that rehabilitation generally costs 50 to 100% more than original construction. So I did my lousy math, and I've got that as somewhere between $9 and $12 million for a new plant based on the 17 and a half to rehab it. So then I'm looking at, why would we do a corrosion study if we would just simply go for a new plant? And why wouldn't we go for a new plant if he's telling us it would be 50 to 100% cheaper to do? If he's retiring, if you look at the map of the plant and you see all the different things he's suggesting we demolish down there, it's the greater majority of the structures on the land. So I know that he's going to come up with I believe, Mr. Stringfield, you're going to come up with a new facility cost figure, right? You haven't done that yet.
No, I haven't.
But I'm just assuming from what you said here about the 50 to 100%, and then by the
cost for what Pismo Beach just did, I do not believe it included solids handling. Is that correct? That was not a total reconstruction of their facility. They are still using they're still using existing solids handling equipment, and they're now, I've talked to staff at Pismo about this. I've talked to the public works director, and they're wrestling with older equipment and whatnot. So I think the numbers that are being thrown out are for a complete facility for the city and the district, and you have to be careful comparing what they did with what is being put out here.
Well, I see here that biosolids were reused, so they weren't included in that price, but couldn't we keep our biosolids and be about the same?
I believe so, but I think some of those rehabilitation costs center on our solids handling in terms of relining digesters and whatnot.
That is correct. We've included in the cost. We've included everything, and Pismo Beach made a decision not to rehabilitate or build any new solids. That would have added, just out of the top of my head, that would have probably added another $5 million to their project if we had done that.
More questions? Any more over here?
Okay, I'll just make a comment. I think that in the process we're going through here, and David, I spoke to you earlier, and again, this idea of whether or not we build a complete plant at an adjacent location, we could maintain the headworks, which you suggested, is a possibility. Your comment to me was you're not there yet. Meaning that you could be there. So given enough information, that decision could be more accurate as to which way we go. Well, given that if we do the corrosion study and you determine which yes. things you want to retire, and eventually you throw your hands up and say it's cheaper to build a new plant.
Our evaluation will be more accurate in our recommendation if we do the corrosion study. There's, like I said, was it $3.5 million? We assume that we're going to throw a motor control centers away. That makes a big difference in whether we rehab or don't rehab. But it's very possible that, on the wastewater side, that you just keep the headworks and everything else is new. But at the same time, on the sludge side, we keep those digesters and we keep doing the same thing with those. So, the decision on the sludge is quite independent of the decision on the wastewater. as far as reusing the existing facilities. Yeah.
So if you inspect all the piping and it turns out that there is extensive corrosion, then you might potentially come back to us and say, hey, yeah, we do have to just rebuild. Is that an option?
That is possible, but it, you know, the decision will be based on all the cost, I hope that the corrosion doesn't tip the cost for lack of adequate information on the corrosion. I'd hate for that $3.5 million to tip the decision one way or another without more information.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Excuse me.
Okay, Betty, you got in there first.
Don't tell me, I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay,
Dad. No, then no, wait. Okay, go ahead.
Are we ready to try a motion?
Yeah. No, well, let me come up with my question. My question was technology.
Yes.
All the stuff that we're dealing with is old technology.
It's older, yes, it is.
So are we would be replacing it with new technology?
We could replace
are we trying to
much of it. You know, maybe we can get by with only replacing half of it rather than all of it with new technology.
And does new technology mesh with old technology?
Often it does. You know, the primary clarifier, secondary clarifier certainly can mesh with some new technology. Some things haven't changed. You know, just putting it in a basin and letting it settle is pretty cost effective, yeah.
And then my last question will be, if we have all new technology, is it likely the new plant will last longer than if we have a mixture of old and new?
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. If we have all new technology, all new concrete, all new basins, you will have a healthier, more robust plant. That is fair.
Thanks.
Dan.
I move that the city approve an amendment to the facility master plan.
Doing this because we don't want to necessarily have to replace the whole plant. Okay, so can we say we're hopefully saving that money in an effort to, because we'll spare equipment, or what is the likelihood that we can say this was not money that was just thrown down the drain?
I think it's well invested money because we've got just the motor control centers. We got $3.5 million at risk that if at all possible. If we just can save one of the three of them, the money will be well spent.
Thank you.
Further discussion?
Just a comment that I'll vote no, because I would really like to vote yes on number three, but it's one motion, so I'll have to vote no on both of them. From what we've been talking about, this is not the likely way we're going to go. And so I would rather save that $21,000, as minute as it is, compared to $11 million, and just go with a new facility.
Well, it seems to me that the $21,000 is what will indicate whether we do go with a new facility or rehab the existing one. I mean, it's part of that process. So to me, that seems worthwhile. It has the option of either saving us money in the long run or directing us to do a different project, which will ultimately be less expensive in the long run too. So it seems like it's not losing the money to invest it in finding out what's the best way to go next.
Just the thought in response would be, if we're going to end up with a really fine plant, be forward looking and have a robust plant, why would we even consider putting our staff through the trouble that they constantly go through on a daily basis to keep things put together? Even the new parts are as old as 22 years old. So they'll be 40 years old by the time they're using them. And that's just a lot of headache to have to constantly do upkeep, maintenance, replacement, where if we could give them a new facility and let them have the pleasure of that for a few years and be really efficient with that, that seems more cost-effective in the long run.
Well, okay, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm going to ask Bruce this one, though. Aren't we looking at a potential for something much more expensive if we go with a whole new facility and have to replace everything? Or should that go to Mr. Stringfield?
I think that would be better directed towards Mr. Stringfield.
Okay.
My comment would be on the whole corrosion study that I don't think you have to throw the baby out with the bath. Feeling is that the money that you would spend, you would probably recoup in the long run on the project, trying to maybe minimize some of the rehab costs.
Then could I just get your opinion on Chapter 7? Almost every item that they mention and give the recommendation, it's for a replacement or a rehab, and there's nothing here that doesn't call for that.
Well, I think what you're going to find out is that when you get a new facility, that part of your new facility is, and we've kind of batted this idea around for a long time and we've never come to grips with it, is you're going to have, for lack of a better word, an equipment replacement schedule. And that you can, I wrestle with this subject all the time, because if they want to rehab the facility, even if they gave a new, they put a new SCADA system in, they put a new computer into the plant today, in 8 years we're going to be replacing it because it's obsolete technology. So we put something in new today, and by the time we reach the construction start date, it's obsolete. And you're going to be going through this constant cycle. And we've done a good job, the council and the district have funded us for the last 8 or 9 years of keeping equipment replaced, and part of that came out of the Boyle study, the infamous Table 7 that Mr. Enns loves so dearly. So I wrestle with that subject of how you do this whole process, and there's times where I think building a brand new facility from the ground up just in my mind can't be cost effective. But then I hear alternative opinions. I'm kind of open on that whole idea. But I do think that the corrosion study might give you a better idea up front of what your long-term costs may be. We may be able to fine-tune those rehab costs, and maybe if he saves $3.5 million on a motor control center replacement and we can do it more cost-effectively, I would agree with Mr. Baxley, it's money well spent.
Are we ready to vote on this?
Sure. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Betty?
Okay.
Betty, was that a vote?
No, I did vote. I'm trying to absorb Bruce's comment. All those yes.
Okay, 4-1. Thank you. Cayucas?
Okay, Cayucas, same motion.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Briefly. Honorable council members, board members, I'm Tim Carmel, the district's legal counsel. I'm also the Brown Act policeman, unfortunately. And Bruce got us halfway there, but the only thing that's actually been agendized for consideration is in the future that Carollo communicate with staff directly what their action items are intended to be, and we can properly agendize.
Well, if you go back to B2, it says consideration and approval of amendment to the contract for the facility master plan.
Right.
Can they not take that action this evening?
Are you amending the contract to say that?
That was my motion, to amend the contract.
You're only amending the contract to deal with the corrosion study. And I think if you actually look at the substance of your report, that's how you set it up.
What it looks like.
I guess I'm confused. The recommendation in B2 was that the council and district board approve an amendment to the facility master plan contract for a corrosion study.
I've actually found it in here on page 2. The second issue is the subject of retiring the structures that were constructed in 1953, so that is given in here in the staff report. So I would suppose that, although more or less comment aside, that the public might not have seen all this, but it is in the staff report about retiring those structures.
Well, the only thing the public sees and the only thing the Brown Act deals with is the agenda that's posted for public review. If you look at Brown Act Section 54954.2, it'll tell you you can only take action on action items. This was not agendized. I don't think I'm being hyper-technical. I just think it was an oversight. I know how important it is to move this project along. I don't want to be the one saying you can't take action on this, but I don't necessarily think this is going to hold anything up. I think you can take informal consensus. You can discuss it and so that it's clear what the direction is. I'm just telling you don't take action because it would be a violation of the Brown Act.
Okay, but you're talking about the agenda, and the agenda doesn't specify what the amendment is. Is that still...
Right, and I don't think this is being proposed as a formal contract amendment. What it's being proposed as is a general understanding that they're going to, you have no cost in front of you, you have no technical information, you don't have a contract amendment, you have no budgeted amount. I think it can be neatly shoved into a contract amendment, but that's not what was intended, and that's not what's on the agenda, and I don't think anyone will disagree. That was a presentation item. If you look at the staff report, it's not framed as a contract amendment. It's framed as a general consensus
so
item.
So what you're saying is the agenda was incorrect from the get-go?
I don't think it was incorrect. I think there was a miscommunication between the four action items that Carollo sought and staff's understanding as to what was going to be acted upon.
Okay,
I think in the future,
if we go back to B2, just for my own clarification here,
sure.
If you go back to the recommendation in B2, it's to approve an amendment to the facility master plan contract for a corrosion study. Can they take that action this evening?
Absolutely.
Then my recommendation,
I think it's incumbent on everyone to communicate exactly what they want done in that meeting. If this was agendized, you could take formal action. But I think you get to the same place by discussing it and getting an understanding as to what the board feels. We've already had sort of an understanding as to what okay. the city feels.
I'd like to ask one other thing, too. Just for my own clarification, I'm not arguing with you, but what our agenda says is consideration and approval of an amendment to the contract for the facility master plan. It doesn't say anything specific, so we have to keep it specific because I'm asking for information. I'm not arguing with you. I don't understand when it's not specific why we have to make it specific.
Well, I think that's also an oversight. I think the intention of the Brown Act is to be as specific as you can. But what I'm saying is, under any circumstances, this is not going to be a formal amendment to any contract. There's no budgeted amount. There's no contract issue. It's a general consent. I mean, that's how it's framed. It's a general consensus item. And you could probably get away with doing it, but I just wouldn't recommend that you do. It's a practice that's discouraged.
Madam Mayor, yes. May I withdraw my motion?
Okay.
And a second.
I need to ask a question.
We need to rescind the motion, don't we? Because we actually got approval.
We had to vote to
rescind
it. Mr. City Manager, I also have a question for you.
Is that the correct process, to rescind the motion now that we've already voted on it?
Yes, he can't withdraw it.
Would the correct motion, if we had made it, then to be to direct staff to come back with a formal item outlining all the details?
As near as I can tell, the objection that's being raised is because you had referred to the 1953 units in the motion. That's the nature of the objection. If you had simply said that you authorized the corrosion study not to exceed $21,000, that would have met the terms of the Brown Act, and it's consistent, I believe, with the recommendation that's in the staff report.
Well, since we only have one lawyer here, maybe you can tell us how we get out of this mess and get on with what we're trying to do.
If you were able to have a lawyer from each of the individual entities here and a third lawyer representing both entities, I think in that case we might be able to solve these problems fairly quickly.
Do I need to rescind my motion and we'd have another vote, or can I simply withdraw?
If you rescinded the motion and revoted the motion and did not include the reference to the 1953 facilities, I think that would probably satisfy everybody at this point.
I move that we rescind the previous.
Okay, we've had some legal discussion during the break. And Mr. Carmel, would you please come up and explain the procedure in special meetings and how that works, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. With regard to public comment at special meetings, this is a special meeting. The regular meetings are meetings that are held on a fixed meeting schedule. Because of the nature of this body, our meetings are normally special meetings. We don't have a fixed meeting schedule. The Brown Act requires that during special meetings, public comment at the general public comment section at the beginning of your agenda address the agenda items themselves. At regular meetings, that's where each item in and of itself gets a separate public comment, public opportunity to comment. So there's a technical difference between the two. Okay. And that's why, technically speaking, I don't think you have to allow anyone to comment on this particular item. That opportunity is at the beginning of the meeting.
Right.
Is that your question?
Thank you.
Madam Mayor,
that explained. Now, having said that, that's fine. I understand. But now we all understand it. Marla did not understand the special meeting. Please do speak. Okay?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Marla Jo Bouton, Ocean Outfall Group. I would like to make a comment right now about the special meeting. Since this is all you ever have for the JPA is special meetings, that means that you are leaving all the residences out of any public comment as the information is fed. I would like to reiterate that the packet, staff reports, the agenda, I dare to say quite a bit more than most of you sitting up there about these issues, that we're prepared to come in here and speak to what is going on in our community. However, the information was not available, so there was no need to come. Okay. I'm left here, as far as I can tell, I'm the only citizen except for Mr. Odell in this room. And if you're going to say that you're going to build this whole plant just on special meetings and not allow public interaction on that, I take great issue with that.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, point of information. Since we've adopted a schedule, do those now become regular meetings or are they still special meetings?
I think that we will refer that to our city attorney, and at our next meeting, at the beginning of it, we will introduce what the rules are with our meetings when we have a chance to look at it rather than take the time to debate it tonight. Okay? All right.
Madam Mayor.
Now, we have rescinded a motion. Yes, Melody.
May I also just suggest that it would be unreasonable for any human to speak to all of these complex issues in 3 minutes at the front of a meeting, so we might reconsider our stance.
Okay. Now, I'm perfectly open to finding that out. That's not a problem, and we will find out, and we will announce at the next meeting how we'll run those, okay, if that's all right with Cayucas as well. All right, so we have rescinded a motion. Would you like to try a new one?
I move that the council approve an amendment to the facility master plan contract for a corrosion study not to exceed $21,000.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, Cayucas.
Okay, Cayucas, same motion.
I make the same motion.
Thank you, Hal. We'll give the second to Bud on this one. Thank you, Bud. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
All right. Now, by just consensus, you would like to know the response to the third item, the agreement about the 1953 facilities?
I
or do we want to wait? Okay. All right. So we're going to have a very casual response to that. So you don't need anything more than the discussion that you've heard tonight.
I don't.
Okay.
Corolla is fine.
Is staff comfortable with that?
Thank you.
And is council comfortable with that? Is Cayucas comfortable with that?
Any comments from Cayucas?
Intended to bring to light the fact that as we move down the upgrade process and the 8-year modified schedule that the council and the district board have adopted, that we're actually at the point in time where we need to begin task 3, which is a financial plan. It's the next step in the program. It's the point at where we're going to identify, I believe, what the financial impact to the communities are, potentially any sources of grant funding, sources of loans and any finance we may need. As I said earlier this evening, that, you know, since we're trying to move the upgrade process along as quickly as possible at the direction of the council and the board, we're slightly ahead of schedule on the facilities master plan. We're going to need to begin the financial plan in order to have it parallel and be relevant with the facilities master plan as it's developed. The eight-year schedule called for the beginning of the master plan in August of 2006, so that's actually this month. What I'm really looking for tonight is some direction from council and district board on how they want to proceed. At staff level, we have met with district staff and city staff to discuss various scenarios and how to proceed, either sole sourcing a contract or actually going out to RFP and soliciting bids and getting competitive bids back and going through that formal process. We have talked about the fact that both communities have collection system needs that have been identified. The city's finished a sewer master plan, and the state waste discharge requirement for collection systems is now been adopted. So the city has, and I believe is on their Monday agenda, for a reorg of public services and a rate increase to discuss that issue. The sanitary district has statewide waste discharge requirements that they're going to need to be dealing with, and I believe they have some rate concerns as well. And somewhere in the middle lies the treatment plant. So, and as I get farther into the discussion, I get farther out of my comfort zone because I don't speak finances as well as I speak wastewater treatment. So I have kind of deferred some of the conversation to Bonnie Conley of the Sanitary District and our new finance director, Susan Slayton, to try and get some guidance on how we want
to. If you'd like to offer any comments. Bonnie's coming up.
Switch this on. No, okay. At our last meeting last week. Oh, I'm sorry. Bonnie Conley, General Manager, Cayuga Sanitary District. At our board meeting last week, we broached this subject because, as Bruce said, we are in the middle of contemplating revenue rate plan for other reasons, our collection system. And at that time, the direction from our board was we would want to consider doing a prelim, but we thought we would probably engage our new engineering firm to do that. So we're probably not interested in, other than obviously the financial plan, input for the wastewater treatment plan upgrade as a whole, because it would integrate, I would think, our revenue rate plan by that point, wherever we're at. So unless my board has different thinking on that, I think that was the direction that myself and my staff was given.
Okay. Susan, anything to...
Susan Slayton, Finance Director, City of Morro Bay, Madam Mayor, Council Members, and the Cayuga Sanitary District Board. When we had our meeting with Corollo, one of the things we talked about was looking for state funding and several different options that we could explore, finding any grants that we could get, whatever type of funding we could get that would be the best rate for everyone. So I think that's what we're looking at right now, and we're hoping that we can get some guidance from whatever consultant we choose to go ahead and tell us what they think is the best way. But Bonnie, I know, has done some research. I've done some work with the iBank, California Infrastructure Bank. So we do have some ideas to get, you know, down that road.
Okay. Questions for Susan or Bruce on this? Cayucas?
Any suggestions from Cayucas? Bruce, could I just clarify? When we were talking about financial plan here, if I understand you right, we were talking about financial needs for what we're going to do at the treatment plant.
So it seems to me that what we're looking at here is whether we're going to do this together or separately at this point. Staff is kind of telling us separately at this point.
That's correct. And the other question is whether, and maybe if Carrillo comes back with a more detailed scope for sole sourcing a contract, we could look at either sole sourcing a contract or going through the formal RFP process. Obviously, going sole sourcing a contract has some advantages, is that, and especially if we were to use Carrillo, is that they're already on board, they're already familiar with the project. They've done this for numerous agencies, and it saves a tremendous amount of staff time and gets the actual plan up and running sooner, so that we would have that information, or they could start working on that information sooner than later. The schedule, the formal schedule that's adopted, actually calls for an award of contract in about April of 2007. Now, granted, we've moved, if the schedule stays fixed, we've moved our schedule up 6 months on the facilities plan, and I'm not sure how all that pulls together. Like I say, when it comes to the financial end, sometimes I have a big question mark over my head.
All right, discussion on the council side?
I have a couple questions.
Okay.
Should we go with a formal RFP? Wouldn't we put in there the type of plant they're designing a financial plan for? Do we need to? Because we won't be selecting it earliest until March of 07 or perhaps April of 07.
I might defer to David on that one, because we had talked about putting, you had talked about a spreadsheet that you would put together and plug in final construction costs as we went, I believe.
What has been done, and for instance, we just did this with the city of Reedley, is we or someone else can do it, is we do a rate study and a financial plan that follows the state revolving fund guidelines, because you want to meet that criteria, because it's the best money. You can go somewhere else and get money, but you might as well meet their criteria as a minimum. But we do it, we did it early, you know, like in, you know, while we were doing the facilities plan or in the very early phases, so that they can use some preliminary numbers, as long as there's some engineering judgment with them, and then they can actually raise their rates based on that in steps, to step their way up to a new rate, as opposed to waiting until the entire facilities plan is done. And so that's, you know, that's one of the things we talked about, is getting something, you know, like a phase one rate study, so you knew what you were expecting, and say, oh boy, I want to do that in three steps. Let's do step one. By the time the second rate study is done, we can adjust step two or three if necessary. So that's what we've done. That's what we've done before.
Can I follow on with
yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
If you're all looking at the schedule in B2, and then you're all looking at the dates given in C1 and comparing them, I'm just wondering, not so much about the rates, but also the search for grants, loans, or bonds, mm-hmm. that if they're awarded the financial plan on April 3rd, that's what our date is for that, to award that to somebody, but we may not even select the facility plan until April 12th of 07. We could award it to them, but they might not know what it is, but they could wait for a week until we finally decide, and then they could go out and look for loans and grants.
You know,
not so much about rates, but the loans and such. Yeah.
I correct me if I didn't hear you right, but my I think the sooner you get a financial person looking for those loans, the better. They don't need to know what it is. They just need to know you may have a reclamation project. You may have a something that's only funded by SRF. So they're getting you in line for those, and making it known to me that there's a, you know, that can make a difference in the alternative analysis, is if there's a grant. I don't know of any grants, but that would make a difference. The sooner you're investigating that, the better.
That's true. In fact, if tertiary is part of the mix, that would make a difference.
Tertiary,
and we would want this fellow to be out there looking at that cost at the same time that we're deciding on whether or not.
Yeah, you want to get yourself in line for, you know, like Prop 50 money or something like that. If you knew you were going to go to tertiary and use it on, you know, some use that is highly thought of by the state, yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
I have a minor one here, and that's, I'm really at this point, other than saying to staff, okay, I hear that you've been looking for money already, keep going. I'm not sure what else we're supposed to do. I mean, it's a little early for the financial process yet because we haven't really got a clue what we're going to spend. But, you know, and as far as, I don't see any real action here other than maybe as a consensus to say, well, staff, we're going to need money. So,
Bruce, did you have another comment?
Well, and you know, just to throw a little confusion, I think, into it, is also when you look at financing this project, you may be financing it from two separate agencies, and I don't know how that works when we go to, like, the state revolving fund loan or something along those lines. I do know that my little piece of paper here, my schedule, says I'm supposed to be doing something. And so, really, that's that's part of the reason I brought it up tonight is to make everyone aware of the fact that, you know, we are supposed to be taking steps to either put a scope of work together and publicly go out and do that, or think about sole sourcing a contract to somebody. But this schedule that the council and the district have adopted does have the financial plan starting in August 2006. So there's obviously a reason that those things are staged in the way they're staged in. And like I say, when it comes to the financial end of it, really, you're way out of my area of expertise when it comes
so
to trying to fund it.
So we direct staff, including our financial person, that, you know, we need to start looking at this and to start exploring sources of funding and all of that, then that would be sufficient for our purposes this evening?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, maybe it has to be brought up at the technical subcommittee as to how we're actually going to tackle this, because I keep seeing both agencies are going to have rate increases based on some project. And somehow, I don't know, like I say, how exactly you get to that end point, but we need to start talking about it.
Well, why don't we add that to the agenda for the subcommittee meeting then?
At least we can float that boat out there and discuss it a little bit.
Because if I could just clarify, if we sole source this with the Carollo outfit, then we don't do the RFP. But if we decide to not sole source it, then we do the RFP. But we still have until December 1st to issue that.
That's correct. Just bearing in mind that, you know, that all those items take time to prepare and staff time to put out, and we're going to have in past meetings we brought some of those RFPs back for approval by council and district. So all that stuff, it all takes time is what I'm telling you. And with the facilities plan ongoing, you know, we're pretty much, at least from my time frame right now, I'm pretty much maxed out.
Okay, so is it fair to say that we're going to ask our subcommittee to take a look at this also? Okay, Cayucas?
Is that agreeable with Cayucas? So, Bud, it's up to you and me. All right, thank you, Mayor.
Okay. All right, moving on to C2, discussion of the cost apportionment of the facility master plan.
This item was put on just to raise the awareness of the council and the district board that with the contract for the facilities master plan that was approved with Carollo Engineers, when the contract was approved by the district board, the issue of cost apportionment to the parties, it was stated that will be determined at a later date. Well, we're starting to pay invoices, and our legal counsel isn't here tonight. Rob was unable to attend. So I think what I really wanted to do is just kind of float this out and say, hey, this is the first study that we're going to do. We at some point need to sit down and determine how those studies are going to be paid for, whether on the basis of capacity or flow. Certainly the city, I think, from a staff level, we've talked and you know, we're willing, I think, to, at this point, just to pay the invoices, let it go at a flow-based rate. And then if we need to make adjustments because the district board and the council decide it should be capacity-based, we could adjust those invoices at a later date. But certainly the financial plan is looming, the environmental documents looming, then you have design and construction and cost apportionment, and how those items are going to be paid for is an area that is going to need to be discussed over the next year or two.
Okay,
could I have some clarity? I don't have the name of the young woman who was giving the presentation.
Tracy?
Tracy, wasn't the fourth thing that was up on the overhead was that by the September meeting you would like some agreement as to flow, but not as to flow versus capacity. You want just our agreement on flow? Flow and loads, that's it, chapter 3.
That would be capacity.
Yeah.
So you want
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we've asked for flows and
not
loads.
Not in terms of apportionment, though.
Right.
You just want not ownership or what we pay, but just how big it is.
How much flow you want me to analyze for your use?
We can do that by then. Yes.
Okay. Any other comments from Morbeck? Cayucas.
Okay, any questions on that? Bruce has made us aware that we're going to have to decide eventually. Thank you, Bruce.
Okay. That's the end of my agenda, and I didn't even get adjournment on it. Did anybody else? You did get a second page. Thank you.
Agenda items.
I only got one.
I'll be darned.
Schedule next joint meeting and agenda items. Okay, any agenda items, anyone?
I have a few.
Okay.
I'm wondering about a website, or if this is already on a website, the things that we're doing. Is there going to be a special website, or is it incorporated into the city? I don't know if the district already has a website up, but where do people go to get information?
Do we have Bruce?
I don't know. Is that just a staff question, or is that an agenda item? Yeah.
I can answer a little bit of that. I know that the Public Services Department is working on a new website, mm-hmm. and that I have been asked by Mr. Ambo and Joan Drake to sit down and look at what we want to put on there, and certainly as much of this information as we have available could be posted on there. We're trying to gear up to that mode. I've just been a little busy and I haven't had enough time to do that aspect, but we have tried to put the JPA agenda on the website. Well, we're trying. I'm making an effort on the city website, but I do know the public services website is going to be okay. The city website has the agendas and minutes, but I know public services is trying to revamp their website, and we're going to have a wastewater treatment plant section and try and put as much of this information there as we can. And certainly, people can call my office if they have questions or they need information. You know, my number is always there, 772-6272. I'm always happy to try and answer as many of those questions as I can.
On the substance of this, basically our goal is to get as many documents out there as we can on whatever subject this, of course, is about the project. But mm-hmm. we want to get it, you know, ultimately be great to get all documents out there so that we're not in a position where we have to make copies for people or do certain kinds of research and that sort of thing. That's our goal. Mm-hmm. Whether we can push it, how fast we can push the technology to get it out there is a matter of labor and priorities and that sort of thing, but that's the goal.
Do you have a deadline for your goal?
Well, Bruce is talking about a portion of it, but I was speaking from the context of the entire city, mm-hmm. that we have all sorts of things, and the way it's been going is each year, each month, each week, we have been putting new things mm-hmm. out there. So mm-hmm. If you looked 3 months ago and you look today, there is a considerable amount of information out there that was not there 3 months ago, and we hope to continue that trend and get as much out there as we can.
Okay. So, Betty, for your agenda item, are you looking for a specific website just for this project?
Well, I didn't know what was okay. going on, and so I thought it would be good to talk about it, but it sounds like we just talked about it.
Okay.
Maybe it doesn't need to be agendized.
No.
Oh, you got
Madam Mayor, I would make tons of comments about this and how it gets done effectively, and so I would like to have it on the agenda.
Okay.
And that is, how do we get this information out to the public, including documents like this, in terms of can the Carollo Group provide us a certain number of CDs or DVDs, whatever, that we could put at the public library that people could check out.
Okay, so the agenda item sounds like public outreach.
Public outreach, yeah.
Okay, and we want to discuss public outreach.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
And we can include our, you know, public comments in that discussion as well.
That would be good.
Okay. Anything else?
I had two other items. One was just for city, that I had made the statement prior that I would like to not have pre-meetings if our regular meeting or special meeting is only going to be discussion items. Like, if there's going to be action items and we want to talk about that ahead of time, and I don't know if I need to make that a formal motion, so it needs to come back as an item, or if we can have an understanding that we're not going to have pre-meetings if there's nothing to vote on.
It seems to me that's just a city issue anyway. Bob, do you have any feeling on that? Do we need to?
I would agree that's a city issue as to whether or not to schedule the pre-meetings. Those are council meetings. So
So you want me to raise that at City Council
that
Monday?
That would be a council discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And anything else?
Well, my last one was actually something that Mr. Merritt mentioned earlier, and that was about the mediator. And are we going to talk about whether we want a mediator or not? Or is that a subcommittee topic, or is that something we'll talk about later?
The mediator for NRDC.
Bruce is reaching for the microphone. You have a comment
on
that?
Are you talking about mediation with the NRDC?
The EP.
Yeah, I think if, you know, Mr. Carmel might be able to address this as well. I believe that we are on schedule to have some sort of discussion. It's just a matter of when we can bring all the parties together. And I think Mr. Schultz could answer that question as
so
well.
So it's already heading to the agenda.
Yeah, I believe Mr. Carmel and Mr. Schultz have been in contact with the mediators, and it's just a matter of trying to bring all the bodies together.
Okay, that it on this side? Cayucas.
Yeah, I'd just like to repeat something that was said earlier by Tim, that I think it's a great idea if Corolla would get together with the makers of the schedule, because I'm sure you're going to want to move this thing along every meeting, and you're going to have action items, and so that we can vote on them, get them in the agenda, so that there's no reoccurrence of what happened here. Thank you.
Okay, and our next meeting is the Thursday the 21st. Okay, so with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.